हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Mahaprabhu's mercy. Lord Chaitanya, knowing the ill fate of the conditioned souls of this age, descended to spread the message of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. He saw in the jivas their apathy to the holy name and gave voice to this verse. Yet even in such depths of human misfortune, the Lord's causeless mercy is available. There is indeed a way to escape the steely clutches of Namaparad. First, one must recognize and isolate his offenses. He must conscientiously avoid them, simultaneously chanting continuously. This will keep Namaparad at bay, allowing one to reap the benefit of Namabas chanting. Namabas chanting elevates one to actual mukti or liberation, meaning freedom from the influence of and dependence upon matter. Only thereafter does one become competent to chant the pure name. The opportunity afforded to us by Namabas chanting is but an indication of the Lord's unlimitedly flowing compassion. Thus, the simple chanting of the principal names of God brings about the best and the only real benediction to humanity. When the jiva attempts to grasp at insignificant, evanescent, material fruits, he is enmeshed in stringent regulations. The factors of time, place, and circumstance, and the struggle with the limitations of his own ability to perform the complicated rituals. But one who chants the holy name of the Supreme Lord faces no such insurmountable obstacles. By the Lord's causeless mercy, in the Chaitanya Bhagavata we find this statement. Always remember to chant the holy name in the sleep, eating, or waking hours. There is no hard and fast rules of chanting. So chant all the time. End quote. This same instruction is repeated in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this misfortune of the living entity, then, is the Lord's mercy in that he sees that the jivas are not actually that interested in the proper performance of duties, right? The proper performance of spiritual action. That the living entity, then, as he is, means if he's liberated, he's free from, he mentions here, influence of and dependence upon matter. So there's the influence means that material energy will perform its particular activities, whatever it performs. Then, but we become influenced because then we think that this is something nice, something we would like. Something we would like to be involved in or identified with, connected to, reap the fruits of. And at the same time, we are dependent because the jiva being energy must be connected to something for stability. And that connection then means that one's identity, one's enthusiasm, one's needs, and one's the results coming from activities, then all are connected to the material energy. So we're conditioned because we actually need material energy. Right? Means we don't need it, but we think we do. So then one has to be able to... So Nama Bas will free one from that. Right? So this is the whole point, is Nama Bas will give you liberation, will free you from material connection. Right? Then it's in the pure chanting that then one develops love of Godhead. Right? So for us is that basically to develop love of Godhead, you need to give up one's connection to the material world, because love of Krishna means that therefore he is one's need. Right? To get to that need, that means the identity and that enthusiasm or attraction had to have been there. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, how do you come to... you don't get to Prayojana unless Sambandha is properly established. Right? So, the difficulty is that it's said that because of his, basically, non-understanding of the Sambandha Gyan. That doesn't mean that we don't have the knowledge. It means that we don't apply it. We don't understand the importance of applying it. Right? We know, okay, it means if I ask you, who are you? You'll say, I'm the soul, the servant of Krishna. Right? Krishna's God, he's the controller and enjoyer. So we have that knowledge. But outside of when we're asked that question, the tendency is to act not on that platform. So technically, we won't say, according to the principle of manana, that we have that knowledge. Right? As far as shravana goes, yes, we have it. We've heard it, and if we're asked, we can speak it. Right? So we have that first stage of knowledge we have. But understanding, it says understanding, the understanding comes when you practice it. So the tendency is we don't practice it so much. Right? So whenever we remember, well, then we do. But then when we don't, because of the influence or dependency on material nature, then we're not understanding. So this lack of understanding then is what keeps us within the realm of Nama Bas. Right? But even that, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then can free us from material contamination. Like that. That's the whole beauty of this whole spiritual process, is that it's so perfect that despite our disqualification, right, it still works. Right? It's just a matter of minimal qualification. Minimal means we just try to avoid offenses. Right? It's not saying you must chant in pure love of God. Is saying just avoid the offenses. Right? So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying is that one must first recognize and isolate his offenses. He must conscientiously avoid them, simultaneously chanting continuously. This will keep Nama Aparada at bay, helping one reap the benefit of Nama Bas chanting. Right? So Nama Bas basically means that it's Krishna's name, but it's not chanted with that love of Krishna. You know? Does that make sense? So, because the pure means that there's going to be, the offenses aren't there, and there's going to be some attraction or attachment. Right? Like that. At least the neutrality. So that's just being recommended here, is that at least come to that stage, right, where we call nishta, is that the aparads aren't being committed. But it hasn't become that complete dependency on the name has arisen. But still, it works. This is Krishna's kindness. Because the point is the jiva is always connected with Krishna. There's no time when the jiva is not connected with Krishna. But the illusion is that we're not connected. Right? There's not a moment. Anything that's important to you, any feeling, any interest, any enthusiasm, any attachment, any need, any endeavor, focus, all that's Krishna. Anything that you do that actually reaps the proper result, that's Krishna. Right? And so the living entity is actually absorbing himself in this all the time. Right? And so that means he's always in connection with Krishna, right? Because the material energy has nothing to offer the jiva, right? So it's Krishna in his potencies in the material energy that actually is giving the inspiration to the jiva. So the illusion or the maya is to think that it's not Krishna, that it's the material energy. I'm enthused about, you know, how you say my position or, you know, wealth or fame or beauty or any of these, but these opulences are who? They're Krishna. Right? Krishna is Bhagavan. And so all those opulences are coming from him. Right? They're his energy. You know, and as mentioned, him, his internal potency, the jivas, the external potency, it's all him. He's non-dual. You know, to him, it's like, you don't make a discrimination between, you know, these aren't my nails. Right? Does that make sense? Or, okay, this part's my nail, but the part that sticks out the end is not, because that would be cut off. Does that make sense? You don't make a distinction like that. So, the whole thing is that for Krishna, he doesn't make this distinction. It means you can tell. It's like, I can tell this is my fingernail. Like that. So Krishna, that's there, but he doesn't make that distinction. Right? The distinction is sambandhigyan, that's made for us. So that we actually make the distinction, because if you're on the platform of rasa, who cares? Right? Mother Yashoda couldn't care less if, you know, material energy is working this way or that way. All she knows is that Krishna's hungry and it's time to feed him something. You know, the milk's boiling over and she's going to go, you know, fix the milk. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that, yeah.
It's like she doesn't get mental, she doesn't second guess herself, she just...
Yes, focus is there because the focus is strong because her identity is strong. She knows Krishna is her son, she's his mother, and then her, that relationship means that she takes care of him. Looks after his benefit, his welfare. So she expresses her love for him through taking care of him and making nice arrangements for him. Right? So then being focused like that, then she's always absorbed. So is that I guess? So then, yeah. So the idea is that the Nama Bas will liberate you. But if it's chanted offensively, then it's not so, how you say, it doesn't give so much benefit. Like that. It means if the offenses are conscious, then you'll start to get very minimal benefit or start to get, you know, not so good reactions. But if it's unconscious, then there's still benefit. One is still moving forward. But the point is one can't get, how you say, to allow one to reap the benefit of Namabhas chanting. So the benefit is, it elevates you to liberation. Right? So if it's anywhere moving you towards that, you're still benefiting. But the point is that if the offenses are there, then it's much slower. It's slowed down a lot, or one may not get to that point because of the offenses. So in this we see is that there's a very interesting thing here that is not generally brought out. I think I've come across it once by the Acharyas. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions it someplace. That's where Prabhupada gets it from. But Prabhupada means here we have Namabhas and Shuddhanam. Right? But then Prabhupada gives in here, he says there's not, you know, Namabhas, then he gives the clearing stays. There's offensive chanting, clearing, and then pure name. So this clearing we see here is when Namabhas is chanted without offense. Because then you get the benefits. Right? So Namabhas has two stages, but because that second one is very significant, therefore Prabhupada has identified it as the clearing stage. Because the Acharyas indicate this, but they don't necessarily identify it separately. Does that make sense? Like that. You may have something, it can be divided up into parts, but someone who knows the whole thing and is good at that, we'll just call it one thing. But for the purpose of training, you can give those parts, but for make it very clear to people, then you can name those parts. Yes?
They say Namaparad, Namabhas, and Sudanam. So you're now distinguishing two parts of Nama Bas.
Yes, but the Nama Parad is still Nama Bas. Right? But, so there, you could say it's the same thing. Nama Bas means it's not Shuddha Nam. Right? And then you have Chaya Nama Bas and Pratibimba. So Pratibimba means it's like you're a Mayavadi, you don't actually believe in God and stuff like that. So your chanting the name can never actually get you to Shuddha Nam. Because that's the purpose of chanting. So that chanting is useless. Then Chaya Nama Bas will get you there. So within that, technically, then you have Nama Parad and this clearing. Like that. Because it's not Shuddha, but the offenses, you know, have been either removed or minimalized to the point where it becomes dynamic. So, does that make sense? So it's just those are two stages within this. So it's the same thing. That's why it's always very good to be very clear on the definitions, because the definitions overlap always. Because you're dealing with something that is progressive. So that means something that may be the last stage of one part is the beginning of the next part. You know? That's always the that's the element of the Sunday. You know? So it's just like, so technically the Sunday or the junction is part of both. But if you get just basically how you identify it, you actually identify it more with the next stage. You know what I'm saying? It's like the twilight at night, you generally connect it with the night, not with the day. Right? The evening when it's getting dark and it's in between, you don't say, well, this is the... It means you'll say it's the end of day, but you'll identify it as part of night. Does that make sense? Or in the morning when the same thing is there, you'll identify it with the day. Oh, the day is coming, or the night is coming. Does that make sense? So that's why in the verses, when they have these verses that are the junction between the two stages, it's though it's part of both, it's the conclusion of the one, but it's the opening of the next. So therefore, generally, if they have to divide it, either they don't divide it and it just goes through and you understand it. If they do, they generally connect it to the next. That'll be one, that's what I've seen as one very major difference between the categorization of this point, the Sunday point, between the Vedic and the modern. Modern will always put it as the conclusion and separate it off. That's why then the next stage doesn't have really any connection. And then they can very nicely put it into little boxes. Well, the Vedic is you give the definition, but the definitions are overlapping. So that's why sometimes it seems as contradictory. No, it's because the next stage is totally dependent upon the first stage, or the previous stage. Right? Like that. So therefore, the conclusion of the one, the end of the one, is the beginning of the next. Right? This means you've done the activity, you've gotten the result, the prayojana, but that result is the sambandha of the next action. Right? So that's why definitions are very, very important to understand. This, you know, the sambandha, because that's one of the main elements in sambandha jnana, is understanding the definition of something. Because if that's clear, then when you're hearing these, then you can put them all into place. It's not like it's completely separate topics. It's one topic. It's just coming, because now we're approaching it from the Lord's mercy, how kind the Lord is, because all these things is, all you're asked to do is recognize and try to avoid it. That's all. Right? But if you're engaged in material activity, recognizing and trying to avoid what's wrong doesn't get you any result. Does that make sense? You only get result when you're doing it right. Does that make sense? That's what's the Lord's mercy. All other activities, unless you do it right, you get no benefits. Of course, if you stop doing it wrong, you won't get any bad results. But you don't get any good results. Because in it, then it says here, he is enmeshed in stringent regulations, the factors of time, place, and circumstance, and the struggle with the limitations of his own ability to perform the complicated rituals. Right? So here it's being put in the context of the pious living entity, right? So he'll have to perform all the different rituals of the Vedic culture, so all the samskars, all these different aspects of sadhana. If there's any specific sacrifice he wants to perform, then there's so many complicated rules, right? So his own limitations to do those because of his conditioning, right? And there's very strict regulations. You do that, you get the result. You don't do that, you don't get the result. Right? So, like I said, is that in a material activity, till it's 100% done, you don't have the result. Right? Just because you don't burn the sabji doesn't mean you have one. Only when it's properly cooked and finished, then you can say, now, here's the sabji. Otherwise, before that, you have no benefit. If you stop cooking halfway through, you don't have anything. Even if it's 95%, you don't have anything, you know, unless you're the Chinese, right? But then it's just, you don't have anything, right? But bhakti, you've done 5%, you have 5%. So this is the special, is that you simply try to stop the aparads, it'll move forward. So it's simply the endeavor gives you the benefit. That's the Lord's mercy. That's why the chanting, the Samkirtan movement is so special. Because it's simply just even the endeavor gets you the benefit. Right? Is that clear? So that's the context of this. So that's why it'll be brought out, but it's brought out from this context. And then that will, you know, give it its specific thing. But it's still the same points of the you know, Namabhas and Namaparad, Namabhas in the clearing stage, or coming to the Shuddhanam. Right? Is that okay? Okay. Okay, so then he's saying, always remember the chanting of the holy name in the sleeping, eating, or waking hours. There are no hard and fast rules of chanting, so chant all the time. Right, there's a rule, don't chant japa while you're sleeping. Right? But that specifically is to do with, when you're doing japa on other mantras. You know, or as your sadhana. Right, you have 16 rounds. Ideally, you're not chanting those while you're sleeping. Right, but you can still chant while you're sleeping. There's no rule that you can't do that. You know, just like you wouldn't chant your japa in the toilet, right? Unless it's your Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, right? So those rules of japa that apply, that see that the sadhana of the living entity will be established at least in the environment of goodness, then those rules apply. Those are the regulations. But his purpose is that you come to the point of constant chanting. Right? You know, you have the story of when I don't know who he took there, but maybe it was Udhava. Not sure, but they went to Arjuna when he was sleeping, you know. And because his hair was chanting, you know. That kind of thing. So these things do go on. Right? You know, it's like you'll be laying there and think, you're thinking so many things. But if you'd ask, oh, how long were you laying there? You'd say, oh, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But then if you check the clock, it's been hours. You know what I'm saying? So you are sleeping. Does that make sense? But you can think at the same time. Because, you know, a lot of times after you come more to consciousness, if you think, wow, I think all these great, and if you write them down, you find they're not necessarily so great. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're less. So the point is it can go on with that. So here it's meaning that the name should always be chanted. And then of that all the time chanting, you pick the best of that for your sadhana. Right? Because the sadhana is the practice that you're going to chant at your best constantly. So it should be how you that focus on that you're concentrating when you're doing your best chanting. That's what's going on all the time. Does that make sense? So that's the recommendation. So any endeavor in that way, by first recognizing and isolating his offenses. Right? So that means is that it is there, so it's going on. So the offensive chanting is there, but you're trying to recognize them. And then you recognize it, then you isolate it by being specifically what it is and why it's not so important. Because you just say, oh, I'm so attached to this. Okay, so that's recognizing. But isolating is be specifically what exactly is the attachment. Because that's a lot of times what's not looked into. Right? Like I think we were discussing on Tuesday, the question was coming up about the element of morality or sense gratification. We're discussing sense gratification. So the problem's not the sense gratification, because the body is basically all it is senses. Right? It means you have the five knowledge acquiring, five working senses. So any activity you do is going to be done with those 10 senses. You're not going to do it with something else. You know what I'm saying? It's not working. Okay, maybe you open the door with your elbow, but it's not, but it's as the hand. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, not a, you know, a well, how you say, you know. Because in the Sanskrit, the hand or the palm is considered is the how you say, they use the term leaf, like the bottom of your foot. The sole of your foot is the leaf of the leg. You know, so the pi or the foot actually means from your hip down. You know, and then more specifically of that, then you can break that up into parts. So it's a generic thing. So that whole thing does the work of the foot. You want to walk, you need the whole leg. You can't just use the feet. I mean, you can if you want to hop or something. So I guess probably kangaroos too. You know, better at that. But the whole idea is that it's not separated. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So everything's done with your hands, your legs, you know, and all the other senses. Right? So, therefore, it's not technically the engagement of the sense with the sense object that's the problem. It's the misidentification, the particular attachment, and not seeing it in connection to Krishna. That's the real problem. We'll say, oh, I'm attached to this. It's only a problem because it's not connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's why you have to isolate exactly what it is. Otherwise, how do you connect it? You just say, oh, I'm attached. So then what will happen? We'll throw out that activity. Right? And then by this process of neti, 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 what will you be left with? Brahman. You know, at best. You know, but most people in their impersonalism, they're mayavadis, they're not brahmavadis. Right? Cause, you know what I'm saying? Because in India, they're all mayavadis. There's very few brahmavadis. You don't hear of them. Because a real brahmavadi wouldn't be out, you know, preaching. You know what I'm saying? And in the West, the concept of Brahman just doesn't exist. So it's just automatically mayavad. Right? There's a God, okay, he's the supreme person, you know, he's all-knowing, all-pervading, all this and that. What does he look like? He has no form. So what is that? That's mayavad. Because brahmavad means he can have a form, what does it matter? It's all Brahman. Does that make sense? Because a brahmavadi can recognize distinction within Brahman, though he generally tends to just identify everything as Brahman. He doesn't make that, there's no need. You know what I'm saying? You have a meal, you identify that it was a nice meal, the experience of the meal. If asked, you can make a difference between the salty and the sweet and this and that. But the consideration is just that taste, that experience of the eating, of the meal. Does that make sense? So they can do that. Therefore, the four Kumaras can identify that this scent that's coming means they're using the sense. But it's all Brahman. But why is this one creating attraction? Because being on the Brahman platform, everything's Brahman, so it doesn't matter. It's not that one aspect of Brahman is more interesting or important than another. That's why it says that, you know, a stone or gold or that, it's all Brahman, so it doesn't matter. It's not that they can't distinguish. Right? There's always a thing is that there's no distinguishing, no this, they're nuts, like that. No, they can distinguish, but it's just they don't bother. If they need, they can. It means it's like Sukadeva is running through the forest. So he can distinguish between tree Brahman and, and path Brahman, right? You know, and lake Brahman, right? So we don't hear that he ran by and fell into the lake where the girls were bathing like that. No, he just ran by like that. We don't hear that he bounced off the trees and this and that and, you know. Does that make sense? So they can distinguish between, but it's all considered on the same level. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Is it like you have a presence of mind that you restrict yourself from?
I would say, yeah, presence of mind, but restricting, I don't think it's necessarily a restriction, it's a natural position. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's just due to realization. So you're situated on that platform, it's all Brahman. So you don't need to make a distinction because your point of, you know, ultimate understanding is Brahman. So it's Brahman, so there's no need to distinguish because it's all in that category. Then when it's Paramatma, then you can make that distinction between the Brahman and the person who the Brahman is from. But you're not seeing it in relationship to pastimes. It's just he is the Lord, the all pervading, all knowing, all controlling, like that. So it's still on the platform of gyan. Right? You're not dealing with affection there. But Bhagavan means then, you know, him with his opulences. So that means his interaction, right? Rather than him and his, you know, lordship. You know, over the creation. Does that make sense? The material. Here, lordship, meaning Vaikuntha, it's also lordship, but over the creation. So the spiritual world. Paramatma means this is lordship over the material world. Because you don't think of, there is no Paramatma in the spiritual world. Right, that person in the spiritual world, Paramatma, is known as Bhagavan. Right. Is that okay? So it's just a matter. So you don't need to distinguish. You don't see him like that. You know what I'm saying? Just like the gopis just see him as, you know, their lover, Mother Yashoda as her son. They can still distinguish between him and his clothes and his ornaments and his hands and his head and that. But they just take it as a package, as Krishna. But they can't distinguish if need be, you know, depending upon the relationship. Does that make sense?
Their level of realization, they're not attached to the body, that they understand completely that they're serving Krishna as principle.
On the Brahman platform. Yes, means for us, well, here, the Brahmavadis, then that's mukti, right? The liberation. For the devotees, that's bhava. Right? Brahmabhuta. So the Brahmabhuta platform then means that you are liberated, but at the same time understand Krishna as a person. Right? That'll be the difference. So you understand the person is supreme. While the Brahmavadi doesn't make a distinction. You know, it's all Brahman. That's why they're not offensive, because Krishna is Brahman. They accept him as Brahman, but they also accept the tree as Brahman. While the Mayavadis will say, you know, it's all illusion. So Krishna's form is also illusion. So it's not Brahman. So that's why they're offensive. That's why Mayavadis never get out of the material world. They never become liberated. They may, you know, develop some nice qualities, some detachment, like that may move forward, but they never actually become liberated. Because how can they? Because Brahman means everything's Brahman, but they don't accept everything is Brahman. Yes?
If the Brahmavadis their nature, how what keeps them in the illusion? I mean, they haven't realized who they are. So
what keeps them is the Purusha Bhav. That I am the controller and enjoyer. That I am Brahman. I am enjoying Brahmananda. Does that make sense?
I thought that would be the three modes, the influence of the material energy.
No. That's the polluted consciousness. That's polluted consciousness is before material energy, right? Because the subtle is before the gross. Right? So because there's polluted consciousness, then one is put in the material world. Right? If one doesn't have polluted consciousness, why one would be here? Right? That's why in the Vasudeva Sattva, right, means there's two aspects of it. The Vasudeva Sattva where you're getting out and the Vasudeva Sattva where you're coming in. Right? The platform is the same, but it's just a matter of which way you're going. You know, you have a door. Somebody's going in, somebody's going out. The process is the same. It's the same door. Right? So the living entity coming in, then he's by the glance of Mahavishnu, is injected into the material energy. Right? Then that material energy is known as Mahatattva, or Mahat. So the living entities are situated on the platform of Vasudeva Sattva. But they still have polluted consciousness, and I am the controller and enjoyer, though it's not specific. Right? So during the primary creation, which is happening at this time, then they're simply thinking that I am, you know, the controller and enjoyer. But they have no specific way to engage it. So their previous desires have not awoken. Right? But once the secondary creation is there, then the gross facility for engaging that is there. Excuse me. Therefore then, the living entity then takes that identity to control and enjoy, and he has a specific way he identifies, therefore he wants to control in this way and enjoy in this way. You know what I'm saying? So first you're the controller and enjoyer, then you're controller and enjoyer in a specific way, then you get the body that complements that. And then that body is in a particular situation in which whatever you deserve, you get. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Brahmavad simply means you've gotten back to that Vasudeva Sattva. You know, so you're not in the material world. You're liberated. But you're not out of material consciousness. That's why the Brahman platform and the Paramatma platform are still material considerations. They're transcendental, but they're in context of the material world. You don't have to become liberated in the spiritual world. You don't have to find the super soul in the spiritual world. You just deal with Bhagavan. When you're in the material world, then there's the question of Brahman and Bhagavan and Paramatma. You know, saying Paramatma is spiritual, it's directly the Lord Himself. But the concept of Krishna on His own, just sitting in your heart without all His associates and performing all His pastimes, that's a material concept. Does that make sense? Because the Lord's always with His devotees. We think Mahavishnu is there, right? And, you know, He's there and He's laying on the causal ocean. He's doing that. And so we'll think of that. But when Arjuna and Krishna went to see Mahavishnu, what did they see? They just came to this huge person just lying on the causal ocean? No. They came to his palace, and Mahavishnu comes out of the palace to see him and everything like that. Does that make sense? You know, Advaitacharya, he's moving around. He has his wife, he has his pastimes, he has his children, he has his house, he has his, you know, position and, you know, prestige and his rituals and everything that he does. Right? So he is Bhagavan. Does that make sense? But at the same time, if you only see him in that restricted way, then it is one that it means then you're dealing with Paramatma or Brahman. Because you're only seeing part of Krishna. You know? So Krishna doesn't consider it complete until you recognize his pastimes with his devotees. Right? And then within that, of course, is distinction. but it doesn't become, in Krishna's mind, solid until then. Because those other platforms one can fall from. It's only when you get to prema one doesn't fall. Because there, now you're fully absorbed in the platform of Bhagavan. Right? Because otherwise, if there's some other consideration, then it's not personal. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a interesting element. Okay, I'm trying to give an example of. Okay, we'll try it, see if it works. Because it may be something one has understood or not, or we will, or let's say observed or not. Understood might be quite a strong statement. Okay, a man can do an activity with other people in the room, and that activity has absolutely nothing to do with anyone else in the room. They're not part of the consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? A woman, whatever she does, if someone else is around, that other person is included. Even though you don't may not see it, you see the activity, but the mood includes the other person. There's no way they don't do that. So then, that's where a problem comes, is because when the male interacts with the female, sometimes he'll still do it in a way that even though he's interacting, he's still on his own. The person's emotional platform is not considered. Does that make sense? Why? So you're enjoying the field. That's a masculine principle. Right? That's the Purusha Bhav. So when that's given up, then that means that whatever one does, one is always considering Krishna. No matter what's going on. That's the actual real feminine position. Right? The jiva. So he's constantly, no matter what's doing, he's thinking of all that. You know, the man's cooking, he'll think of the cooking. The woman's cooking, she'll be thinking of who she's cooking for, otherwise she wouldn't be cooking. You know what I'm saying? So that thing where you're experiencing it on your own as a thing of enjoyment, you know, of the controller enjoy, that then is the Purusha Bhav. That's what then separates it. Right? But when it's being done, always in consideration of the person you're doing it for. Does that make sense? So that's why then the Brahmavadi or the one on the Paramatma platform, they're still enjoying the platform of Brahman. Everything's Brahman, but it's all to do with me. I am realizing Brahman, I'm appreciating Brahman, I'm situated in Brahman. I'm not doing it to please Brahman. I'm doing it to please myself. I realize Paramatma for my own purpose. It may be transcendental, but it's still my purpose. Right? The Bhagavan means I have to recognize Krishna and deal with him as a person for his pleasure. I have to count him in the relationship. You know what I'm saying? So that's why the Brahman and Paramatma are restricted. They're not complete. Though because it is transcendental, it's perfect. But it's not complete. That's why it says the Lord is perfect and complete. Otherwise, they just say perfect. So perfection means liberation. Then there's love of Godhead. That's complete. Right? Does that make sense? That's why these two terms are used. Right? Otherwise, why do they need to use both of them? He's perfect means he's completely transcendental and not connected by the material energy. And complete, everything he does is in relationship to his creation. Right? So everything that expands from him is also perfect and complete, which means it's not actually materially connected. Right? It's an illusion that there's such a thing. And it's complete because it's connected with Krishna. Right? So then the jiva has that position, the material energy has that relationship. Everything has that relationship with Krishna. Right?
Satchitananda is the existence part, see, the knowledge, and the ananda is when you're actually functioning in that.
Yeah, when you function. But that comes, you means you're experiencing it. The functioning is the chit. Because knowledge includes action. Right? So the prayojana will be the result. In this case, at the same time, it can be the object. You know what I'm saying, because you always depending upon what is the perspective you're using, then you can how you say it adjusts something. Is that okay? Is that clear about the thing? Is that on these platforms, it's still you're enjoying it yourself. Yes.
How do you get out of that condition?
How do you get out of that? That's why there's always the element of performance of duty and sacrifice and charity. Because you're always having to consider others.
For someone who is involved in the Brahmagyoti, for instance?
Then they just have to realize that there's higher levels of Brahman. In other words, Brahman realization is the lowest level of Brahman understanding. The highest is Bhagavan. So basically, if they come in contact with the devotee, with Vaishnavas, then they'll hear about it and they'll take it up because they are situated on the Brahman platform. So for them is that you can show them that Bhagavan is the highest form of Brahman, then they'll take it because they're interested in Brahman. So he's the Parabrahman. They only know Brahman. They don't distinguish that there's Brahman and Parabrahman. Right? So once you show them Parabrahman, then they'll be comfortable with that. Is that okay? So basically for ourselves, it's just we always are trying to do everything for Krishna. We're always trying to consider the devotees, the Vaishnava etiquette. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll end here. We'll start again in a few minutes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Is that garland cold?
Oh.
Can I take your funny?
It's not so cold. It's not so warm either.
Yeah.
This lease is not wet.
Yeah.
When they're wet, that's a problem. It's also when they're wet then they are all the color comes off on your clothes.